And how would you like to train yourself to experience ghosts? Up next, our paranormal investigator, Joshua P. Warren, joins us with his paranormal moment. And here he is, Joshua P. Warren. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Well, thank you, George. As always, it's amazing. I have so much to tell you. I don't know how I'm going to fit it all in.
Well, and you're going to take some phone calls later on, too, so we're going to make you do double duty tonight.
Well, that's great because, you know, I just got back home yesterday. I've been on this whirlwind trip traveling all over the continent, even off the continent, actually, if you want to include Puerto Rico there, over just the past month. And as you know, George, I have just bukus of equipment. I mean, I'm out there measuring every type of energy field you can imagine. And yet, the funny thing is, the reason that I go to a haunted place or a paranormal location is because someone has had an experience there. That's how I know where to go. So the best ghost detector is the human body, the human senses. And therefore, I have been not just, you know, restricting myself to what can be measured and what's there with the equipment, but also trying to find what it is about the human senses that allows us to, you know, somehow experience the ghostly. And as I have done this, I have found that there is a mind-body-environment relationship that helps you immensely in actually accessing and creating, to some extent, what is ghostly. And one of the biggest, like, one of the most highly populated, biggest haunted cities in the U.S. is Chicago. And I now have been to Chicago, in just the past few months, I guess twice, and I'll be going back there again soon. And one of the reasons is because Chicago not only has a lot of crime in its past with all the gangsters and stuff, but there are many people in that area who are working with human bioenergy fields. And what they find is that as they are more and more sensitive to subtle energies, they start to see more and more paranormal activity. And in fact, I must tell you, George, I now am officially a black belt. How do you like that?
Oh, you really?
Yeah. Don't make me angry, George. Yeah, it's
I'll
very,
just
very
hit
funny.
You with a board, George.
Yeah. In fact, I've got a video online. I've been given an honorary black belt in Shinbihan by Grandmaster Tom Cameron, who is one of the energy practitioners that I've been working with for about 7 or 8 years now. And I actually have a video online of me busting through 3 concrete bricks with my bare hand. And he claims that it's really about focusing the chi, the human bioenergy. And that's great. You know, that's all cool. But the thing is, I'll tell you honestly, as I have continued working on this chi development thing, I found that I am getting so many ghostly pictures and having weird experiences that I really think there is a connection between the energy field around your body and how perceptive you are to that field and things that are ghostly. And in fact, Lex has got a picture he put up on your website there, Coast to Coast AM. I was in Chicago at this haunted theater called the Portage Theater. And so there is this weird ghostly looking thing that seems to be following me around. And then this is just one of the pictures there. It's like it's an attachment, I guess you could call it.
Do you think you get followed by spirits a lot?
Probably. You know, people used to ask me that question, and I would tell them, oh, I don't think ghosts follow you around. And then one night, I was sitting in my office after coming back from a very haunted house. About 5 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting there doing some work. And all of a sudden, my office door flew open, and at the same moment, my stereo came on full blast. And, I mean, it scared the bejesus out of me. Papers went flying everywhere. It was like some huge burst of energy came into the room. Now, my wife was sleeping at the time. So the first thing I wanted to do was turn the stereo off. So I just ran over there and pulled the plug out of the wall, and it kept running, even though there were no batteries in it. And I could not believe that. I understand how capacitors and stuff work, but it takes a lot of energy for a stereo to be running full blast. And so I'm punching buttons, trying to get this thing to turn off. Finally, it turned off, and I just felt at that point there was this incredible silence in the room, and I felt as if there was something there, and I turned. And I just said, this is my house. You are not welcome here. Get the heck out of here. And at that point, it was almost like there was a release. There was a relief in the room. Anyway. So after that, I started, you know, becoming more and more open-minded to the idea that things can follow you. And I think things follow you around sometimes because that you have a type of energy that those things like or need. Because there's a difference between seeing, say, an imprint, something from the past that kind of replays itself, versus something that is actually conscious and aware. And it took me many years of research before I encountered some of these things that seem to be interactive and conscious and aware. And so that's why I started seeking out a lot of these people who have spent, you know, decades trying to learn about body energy and how that relates to the paranormal. And what you find is that when you wade into this culture of people who are training, who are practicing all the time on sending and receiving energy, you open the floodgates to paranormal stories. I mean, they just tell you tons of stories. And the reason I was in Chicago this most recent time here is because Stan Lee, who is the Marvel Comics guy, you know,
he's
Spider-Man, the Hulk, and all that. He kind of invented many of these icons. He's producing a show right now called Superhumans, and it's supposedly going to air on the History Channel probably in, like, January. And so they were testing out Grandmaster Tom Cameron, a guy that I've worked with for, again, about 7 or 8 years. So I went up there. And not only did I experience a lot of ghostly stuff, but we did some pretty cool stuff as a side note as well. They had EMTs around as he was projecting energy. And when some of the people were knocked out, the EMTs said that the blood pressure dropped and there was a doctor there. And the doctor said there was no way that this could be manufactured on command by a person. And oddly enough, when it came to all these different experiences, I decided that, okay, I wanted to test out Kirlian photography. Now, you remember me being on here last time telling you about how that we have the phantom leaf phenomenon,
right?
Which is a ghostly phenomenon. And basically, you pass electricity through a leaf, and you get a corona around it, and then you tear the leaf away except for the stem and photograph it again, and sometimes the leaf appear.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not physically there. So we decided we were going to do an experiment in which we had Tom produce a knockout on a person to see if, while that person was having the knockout, if he was clearly in photograph, there would be a difference. And so I was up there with Lemur researchers, Dean Warzing and Joe Southards. So Joe Southards, Joe's a big guy. I mean, he's like 6'5", you know, very, very formidable man. So we took a Kirlian photograph of his finger, and you saw this corona of light around it, and which is normal. And then for the first time in history, we made a Kirlian photograph of him at the moment of being knocked out with this chi energy, which also included a little tap on a pressure point. And we got this amazing, inexplicable picture. I've got it posted right now at on my personal website, joshuapwarren.com, and there's no period after the P. It's joshuapwarren.com. It's linked up there from your website. In this picture, you actually see two of these images of the corona. It's almost like that you have two electrical discharges coming from the finger. It's like we double exposed it, but we didn't. It's not a blur from you know, a motion. And that's what you might think, that, okay, a guy's getting knocked out, he's moving, there's going to be... No, two distinct images have appeared. And it leads me to believe that when you have this kind of chi excitement, if your bioenergy field, which is very measurable, is somehow disrupted, that it almost creates a quantum effect, because we know, for example, there have been many cases now in which a singular particle has been photographed twice, and they photograph it in two different places at the same time. Now, how does all this relate to the ghostly? Well, it seems to me that if your chi is there, your bioenergy is there to make you aware of the environment around you, that at the very same time, your bioenergy might also be somehow accessing other realms, other places. And that is where we look into this mind-body relationship. And a good example of that is up in Chicago, the ghost of Resurrection Mary. Are you familiar with Resurrection Mary, George?
Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah. It's one of the most typical kind of hitchhiker ghost stories.
Yeah, for those who don't know, very quickly, tell us.
Yeah. Well, in the 1930s, young woman, she got in an argument with her boyfriend at a ballroom, went outside and was going to hitchhike. She got hit by a car and killed. And so they buried her in Resurrection Cemetery. And to this day, there are some pretty credible reports from people who say that they have not only seen her, but that they have picked her up and that they have, taken her to some destination, and then she disappears. And it's a very troubling situation, because you can imagine how disturbing it is to sit there and talk to a woman, you know, and then she disappears. So across from Resurrection Cemetery, there is this little bar. It's been on a lot of TV shows. It's called Chet's Melody Lounge, and it's the only place that's open late at night in that area next to the cemetery. And so obviously, when people see Resurrection Mary at night, a lot of times they're so freaked out they have to tell somebody. So they drive to this bar and they go inside, and you know, they sit down and want to tell the story. In fact, they keep a Bloody Mary on the counter at all times there, and in honor of this. So I decided I was going to go into this place, and I went in there, and I ended up talking to two people who were at the bar who had seen Resurrection Mary. And so I talked to them both about the experience, and one of them was a very typical one. Young lady, she was probably in her 20s, told me that she went out, she was there at the bar one night, she went into the parking lot, and she sat down in her car, closed the door, and she looked in her rearview mirror, and she saw a woman standing behind the car. And this woman was dressed in white. She had kind of a glow around her, very, you know, feminine, distinct, clear face. And then the woman disappeared. And that is much more common than people actually seeing the ghost. And as I talked to this woman more and more, she started to tell me that she had worked with energy in the past, that she had tried.
Here we go, right?
Focus the bioenergy, focus her chi. She even now thinks of herself as a clairvoyant. So I was taking all this in, absorbing it, and trying to look at kind of techniques for what is common between these people who have these ghostly experiences and people who have these attachments around them. And there are some very simple things that I found. And before I get into those, I will tell you that you see also pictures that will follow you, that appear over and over, of something that is sort of appearing around you that looks like some kind of a misty or bright form that occurs just before a paranormal experience happens. I was at Hull House up there, for example, and Hull House was the inspiration for Rosemary's Baby. And Hull House is a place where supposedly in the early 1900s, there was this guy who said, you know, he had rather have the devil's baby than take a picture down of the Virgin Mary or something along those lines. And so anyway, his wife gave birth to this baby that had horns and scaly skin. And you'll see that, you know, there's this big, bright, glowing orb of light that appeared over my head when I went to Hull House. And it's not uncommon for that to happen, but you know what's weird? I drank a whole bottle of Gatorade before I went to the house. Now, I know you got to be asking yourself, why in the heck does Gatorade matter? But I started thinking about it. And every time I drink a lot of Gatorade, there are ghostly images that appear around me. This didn't make any sense to me until I started going up there and doing the energy work. It turns out that the potassium in Gatorade actually accentuates the electrolytes in your body, and it makes your body more electrically conductive. And some people just take potassium pills. I mean, you can go and buy a bottle of potassium pills that are, you know, 1,000 milligrams.
Supplements, yeah.
And when you take these things, your body becomes so electrically active that it's easier to produce telekinetic effects. In fact, some people who consider themselves telekinetics, they will take a lot of potassium before they will sit down to do an exercise. And so it seems like that, and that's one of the basic, you know, principles here. If you take potassium, if you drink substances that have a lot of potassium in them, or eat things, whatever, however
and
you it, want to
put it. And it's safe for you, right?
Yeah, as far as I know, there's no danger from, you know, ingesting potassium. It makes your body more electrically conductive.
Get it from bananas, too, you know.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Bananas are a good source of potassium. I mean, a lot of fruits have potassium in them. And it seems like that now that we are learning and defining and documenting more and more, that there is some relationship between your body energy and these things that manifest around you. Potassium is a very important substance. People who see ghosts ingest more potassium. So to train yourself to see more ghosts, take in as much as potassium as possible. Secondly, you know, I've talked on the program quite a few times about how that if you are in the presence of ghostly activity, sometimes you get this sort of tingly electrostatic feeling. And if you don't know what that feels like, turn on a television. A computer monitor to a less extent, but a TV is good. Hold your knuckles up to the TV screen, and you will feel this thick field that will actually make the hair on your knuckles kind of stand up a little bit. And you need to become familiar with how that feels. And a good thing to do is to get a partner who has a remote control. Put your hand up to a TV, close your eyes, and have them turn the TV on and off and become very aware of that sensation when you have an electrostatic feel there. There's also a certain smell that you get when there's a ghost around. It smells like, well, you're basically smelling ozone. And unless you're around some kind of like a Van de Graaff or a Wimshurst generator that produces a lot of electrostatic charge, you're not going to know what that smell is like, but it's very similar to what you might smell just before or after a thunderstorm comes through. And you have these big lightning discharges in the distance because it actually is creating the ozone gas. And it's kind of a refreshing feeling. Most people talk about it being a pleasant feeling. And when you start smelling that in a room, then that means you should stick around for a while because there's a good chance there's going to be a manifestation in that room.
Interesting techniques, Josh.
And you know, beyond that, if you have a person that you can work with who will help you with some of these techniques, one of the best things you can do, and this is very strange, stand up in a room, close your eyes, and have the person get behind you and envision that you have a physical field around you. And when that person will push, even behind your back without your knowledge, then you should also find yourself feeling off balance, like you're being pushed forward. And then that person can pull back, and you'll feel like you're being pulled backward. And it's a disorienting feeling that takes you off balance. A lot of people experience that at haunted places, and some of them even get motion sickness.
Joshua, when we come back, we'll get some quick pointers from you on how people can experience ghosts, and then phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Bill Bean joins us for a couple hours as we talk about demons. followed by Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, Josh will quickly give us his training experience for ghosts, and we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. By the way, the daily recommended dosage of potassium does not exceed 2,000 milligrams, just so you know. Joshua, give us quick highlights on training yourself, and then let's get to the calls.
All right, sounds good. And, well, you know, it's funny because there at coasttocoastam.com, the picture that Lex has posted shows this figure behind my back that you can use your imagination, but it almost looks like a little hooded being. And the idea here is that it's possible that in the same way we eat food to get energy, that there are beings that do not have to eat food. They can take energy directly from you. That's why a lot of people see ghostly phenomena around them when they wake up in the middle of the night. You know, there's something that's taking your energy while you are asleep. And so what you want to do is enhance your energy field. And in fact, I posted those Kirlian photos on my website at joshuapwarren.com as well. So you can see the Kirlian photos and you can see how all this kind of relates. You want to take as much potassium, I think, as you can get. Now, I'm not a medical professional here, but I don't think there's anything dangerous about taking
potassium. Well, you got to be careful. You don't want to take too much.
Yeah, well, I cannot give any expertise in that particular area. All I know is that I will take several thousand milligrams of potassium.
Yeah, they recommend the daily rate for an adult 2,000 milligrams.
Okay, well, that's probably pretty good. You know, a lot of people don't usually maybe even get that much, but take potassium and drink a bottle of Gatorade. You know, that's probably the simplest thing. You're not going to die from drinking a bottle of Gatorade, right? So drink a bottle of Gatorade
or a bunch of bananas.
Bunch of bananas, right? And then you want to sit there and you want to close your eyes. Breathe in very deeply and inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth, and try to become extremely sensitive on the surface of your hands. And again, the best way to know when you're coming into contact with an electrostatic field is to use something like a television. If you don't want to do that, then take something like a little piece of plastic PVC pipe and rub it on a piece of wool or some other similar material. Get an electrostatic field. Become familiar with what that feels like. It's a feedback mechanism. And then beyond that, you have to realize that if a ghost is something that humans leave behind in certain cases, well, then we have it while we are alive, right? So you can learn how to feel a ghost by learning how to feel a person. And so you want to work with a partner who can walk up into your field, who can focus on pulling your field and pushing your field, and that kind of off-balance, disorienting sensation is what's going to tell you when you are encountering a disembodied biofield at a haunted place. So in short, drink a lot of potassium or eat a lot of potassium, ingest a lot of potassium one way or the other. Focus on breathing exercises to calm yourself and then become aware not only of how the electrostatic field feels, but also how that you feel when a field interacts with yours.
Very good. Let's take some calls now for Joshua P. Warren. We'll pick it up by going to Lexington, Kentucky. Rick, east of the Rockies. Hey, Rick, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you, George. Joshua, it's a privilege. I have a statement and a question real quick.
All right.
My mother passed away about 2.5 months ago. And the other night I woke up 2:30, 3 in the morning to go get a drink of water out of the refrigerator. And when I walked down the hall, there was a dim light, but my mother was standing there in the hallway with her arm stretched out. Now, when my mother passed away, she was about 55 years old. but she looked like she was in her prime when she was 25 or 30.
Right.
Do you have any, and another comment? She's been coming to me in my dreams quite often, like 2 and 3 times a week.
Not unusual.
No, no. In fact, Rick, that's a great call because, for one thing, this happened to you while you were in the sleep state, which opened your mind immensely to having these experiences. And in fact, generally, like right now, for example, while we're talking, you are in the alpha brainwave state, which I think goes up to about 60 hertz. And then let's say if you go to the bathroom or something like that and you're by yourself, it'll lower down to the alpha state. And then if you are in a meditative state, it goes to theta. But the lowest state you can go into is delta, which is what you enter only when you are sleeping. And when you are in that very low state, your brain waves are very susceptible to the subtle energies that you otherwise filter out. And it's no different than if you have a fan and you turn it on and the blades are going too fast for you to see them, but you photograph them and you're able to capture them because you're capturing a much smaller moment in time than your eyes can perceive. It's called a flash rate. That means that your brain already is able to see things and perceive things that you ordinarily do not. Secondly, when you are sleeping, it is easier, apparently, for apparitions to appear because they are taking advantage of your bioenergy field in order to manifest. I mean, the energy has to come from somewhere. But the third point, which is the most interesting point, is that your mother appeared and she looked very young. Now, this goes to the question that I'm asked from time to time about, well, why don't ghosts appear naked, right? Because everybody has this idea that if all we're looking at here is the human energy field, then ghosts should be naked, right? Why do they have clothes on? Well, the fact of the matter is that it seems that ghosts are able to appear to you not only the way they want to, but you also see them the way you want to see them. That is why that, for example, right now, if I say to everybody, I know there are millions of people listening right now, if I say, don't think of a pink elephant right now, okay, boom, everybody, millions of people just thought of a pink elephant because I put that image in your mind. And we are dealing here with thought forms. We're dealing with the non-physical. And it seems like that, you know, a ghost being a non-physical entity has some ability to present itself however it wants. And you also see that ghost however you want, which is why that we have instances where 2 or 3 people are together, and I've documented this, and I can give you the evidence. 2 or 3 people are all together at one location, and a ghostly manifestation occurs, and every single person experiences it, but in a different way. And we have to stop thinking about the fact that, you know, we have this idea that we are simply the receivers of information, and something occurs, and we have to just take it in, and we have no control over it. Instead, we have to think that we are collaborating in this process. It's a cooperation between your perception and what's happening in the environment, and perhaps what the thing in the environment is trying to project to you. And somewhere in the middle, we meet, and that's where the experience takes place.
What is it about the dream state, Joshua, that allows these entities to filter through?
Well, I think it is that, you know, dreams are so mysterious because dreams alone sort of take the idea of the scientific method into a realm that no longer applies. I mean, I had a dream last night. I'm a very vivid dreamer. I had a dream last night, and while I was dreaming it, it was as realistic to me as talking to you on this telephone right now. But I cannot scientifically prove to you what I dreamed about. And that dream may have impacted my life immensely, but I cannot scientifically prove what it was about. I cannot scientifically prove to you that I love somebody or that I hate somebody. And we have to sort of appreciate the value of science, but at the same time, realize that there are things that are exclusively human experiences. And when you are in the dream state, when you are in the sleeping state, not only do you have more of these manifestations occurring around you, but you also are more open to appreciating them at a very basic base level. And that's why when in the 1800s in England, when psychical research, as they called it, was really first sort of solidifying into the modern form, they would often take a sleeper with them, and that person would go to a haunted place, and his or her job was to lie down and to sleep. And the idea was that the dormant energy of the person would be utilized by a ghost in order to manifest. Now, I have done this same thing. In fact, there was a researcher that I used to work with who would walk into a haunted place, and he couldn't keep his head up for 5 minutes. I mean, this guy would actually lay down in the middle of the floor in a stranger's house, a place he'd never been before, and he was out. You know, he was snoring. And I think most people who investigate haunted houses are aware of the fact that when you go to a really haunted place, you are quickly drained. That's why it's important for a quote-unquote ghost hunter to take, snacks and water and all that. Because by the time you're done, you're just worn out. And these people who are especially susceptible to that, they'll go into a haunted place, and they're gone. They're sleeping in no time. And in some cases, that sudden change between your alpha state and your delta state is disorienting, and that's why some people go to a haunted place and they throw up.
And they throw up. Next up, let's go to Nick in Indianapolis, Indiana. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi. I was going to say I had some experiences at my own house as well as a few other people, and what we had was my mom has been smelling cigarette smoke when there's no smokers, and a person has actually seen a mist go across the floor, and my mom's heard a door slam, and there was nobody else around the area. And I was just kind of curious about that. And it's only started, I'd say, within the last year around Christmas when it started, actually.
Any advice here, Josh?
Well, the door slamming is not at all unusual because, you know, one of the things that I realized, and as far as I know, I'm the first person who actually wrote about this. You can go into the laboratory, and you can reproduce many of the phenomena that people experience when they go to a haunted place by producing electrostatic charges that create a force field. And you can move objects around, I mean, heavy objects, and it doesn't even take that much energy to do it. And so the idea of door slamming and all that sort of thing, I mean, that it's easy to understand how that happens, especially when you go to a haunted place and you take measurements from the doors that slam. In fact, there's a place called the Smith McDowell Mansion, which is here in Asheville, North Carolina, where I live. And sometimes the charge around this door in the basement is so strong, the door is actually glowing blue. And it goes beyond just the atmospheric conditions. I mean, nobody knows why such a charge builds up, but like charges repel, opposite charges attract, and when there's a lot of energy that's being produced by some kind of apparitional form, it will move objects, and doors are designed to move, and that's why we have a lot of door slammings and things along those lines.
Okay, we go next to Coleman, Alabama. Aaron, let's squeeze a couple more in. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, pleasure to talk to you guys. Listen, I was just going to tell you about an experience I had here at the place that I work. And it was something, I work as a security guard. Part of my job is to walk around this distribution center that I work at just to make sure everything's all right. I was walking out one night, and I literally felt like what you were talking about, almost like a static electricity. kind of thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye. I turned and looked, and there was nothing there. I had always heard that, you know, maybe if you take a picture, you might catch something. So I took a picture, and what I literally saw fairly clearly in this picture is a face almost staring right back at the camera. it's just, you know, when I heard that, yeah, I knew exactly what you were talking about. And I've always had, I always called it an inner ear problem. But what it was is literally every time I close my eyes, I'm always, you know, almost thrown off balance by everything. Once you started talking about that, it kind of connected with me too.
All right, so, we've got about a minute or so left, Joshua, for some comments on this.
Yeah, well, you know, it seems like that what you experienced there, Aaron, was a great example of all of these issues. Because, you see, here's what we have to focus on. Science is a method, okay? It's not a belief system, and a lot of people think of it that way. And science was designed to help us solve the simplest mysteries first, and science has done a great job of that for hundreds of years. But now we have become so advanced that we've gotten to the point where we are dealing with very complicated problems, and there are many, many variables at work here. And those variables involve electrostatics. They involve the human mind and its sensitivity to electrostatics. And I say electrostatics so many times because that's the medium that's being utilized here. And what we find is that the reason all this stuff has been mysterious for so long is because it's a combination of factors that have to all be just right, and it happens rarely. But when it happens, this incredible effect kicks in. And at that point, we have to face the fact that we are sort of transcending our ordinary consciousness, and we are aware of these other realms. And in the same way, you know, you can say, is a human a solid? Yes, a human is a solid. But is a solid a human? Not necessarily. You know, chairs are solid. So we're finding the medium here. And plasma is a medium. Electrostatic field is a medium. Now we're just beginning to understand how that medium relates to the things that we qualify as being conscious, ghostly entities.
Joshua P. Warren, thank you again. Your website, joshuapwarren.com. Josh, until next time, my friend, you take care.
Hey, thank you, George. It's always a pleasure.
Joshua P. Warren, training yourself to experience ghosts. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safer.